Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo
Cristo.
Es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy on all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. Y'all got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music's sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body.
Jesus Christo,
Christo.
Is moreno.
Shalom, shalom, Most High and Christ bless you all. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm your host, Officer Mariah, and joining me today?
Soldier Nehemiah, shalom.
And Soldier Shrek, shalom.
Again, welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show, all right? We are here every single Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m., as well as every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., as well as on Monday nights at 8 p.m. as well, where we have a Spanish segment, where we teach you so-called Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans who you are according to the Bible. Like always, for the namesake of the show's name, let me get Isaiah 1 verse 3. Before we get into today's topic, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3.
This is the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib.
So now when the Lord speaks, he speaks in similitudes, all right? He uses allegories. He says one thing, but he's referring to another. In this particular similitude, he's comparing the nation of Israel, which is you so-called Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. He's comparing you to a jackass, which is a donkey, and an ox. He says, as dumb as these animals are, at least the jackass knows where it lives, and the ox knows its owner. Read on.
But Israel,
but you so-called natives, Latins, and Blacks, read,
does not know.
You don't know your owner, nor do you know your homeland.
My people does not consider.
He says my people. He doesn't say all people don't consider. He says my people. Why? Because we think our history started in 1492 or in 1619 in slavery. When you ask all these other nations outside of you so-called Black, Hispanics, and Native Americans, when did your history start? Using the Arabic, for example, they'll tell you Ishmael. That's in the book of Genesis. So they can date their history back thousands of years, but our people don't consider that we are the Israelites the Bible speaks of.
That's right.
That's our true nationality. So that's what we're coming back to. That's why we call it the Lost History Show, all right? Because your history started in Genesis 1:1. You have the greatest and richest history on this earth, all right? So today's topic is entitled, God is in the Storm, the Biblical Explanation for Hurricane Harvey, all right? Like a short description that I put for the show, we live in a day and age in these last days where we have been supposition of time to believe that man created God rather than the other way around. Mm-hmm. So when we see things in the earth, we quickly give credit to And I'm going to just say it, chiefly the so-called white man, which is Edom, according to the Bible. Because we saw him drop the atom bomb on Himashira and Nagasaki. So we say, you know, surely this man can create all these miracles. But we have to understand that there is a God, a creator of heaven and earth, who is responsible for all these things. So we're going to go to the Bible and pull out some biblical text to prove that it's actually God in the storm, all right? For anyone that wants to call in with any questions or comments, feel free to do so at 516-531-9797. Again, the call number is 516-531-9797. So now, first, let me get Isaiah 45, verse 4. You had it already?
Yeah.
Oh, praise. Look at that, bro. You in the spirit. Right. Because when we see things like Hurricane Harvey, we say, oh, my goodness, that's such a travesty, and that's terrible that those things are happening. You know, they're praying to God and they're doing all these things, but not knowing that it's actually God's hand that's behind those things. Read that.
You want verse 4 or verse 7?
Verse 7, I'm sorry.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 7. I form the light and create darkness.
So it's God that forms light and creates the darkness. Read.
I make peace and create evil.
No, that's not in the Bible. He said I create. He said I create what?
Evil.
So God makes peace and creates evil. So when things are A-okay and business as usual, God's behind that. But when things are running rampant and you got killings and hurricanes going on, guess what? God's behind that too. Let's read it one more time, just in case they didn't get that seep in real well.
I'll phrase this. The book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
See that? I, the Lord, not I, Satan, and the Lord, because the Most High is in charge of every single thing. Real quick, give me Sirach 33 and verse 14. We have to understand something, that the Most High is behind every single thing, but he uses different spirits to fulfill his will, all right? So same thing with Hurricane Harvey, all right? He did that for a particular reason, all right? And we're going to get more on that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 33 and verse 14. Good is set against evil.
So with the Most High, there always has to be a balance. It says that good is set against evil, read.
And life against death.
So there's that balance again, life against death, read on.
So is the godly against the sinner, and the sinner against the godly.
So we understand that here in these last days, when the scripture says that through the foolishness of preaching, that he will save those that believe, when we go out and we're teaching our people to come back to God's laws, we're not telling them to go impregnate multiple women and not take care of your kids. We're telling them, pull your pants up, get a job, take care of your families, do better for yourself, all right? We're not telling them anything crazy. We're telling them to stop abusing alcohol and stop abusing drugs, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Stop hating your brother in your heart. Stop killing each other over shoes and street corners. We're telling you to come back and keep God's laws. But yet, Christ said what? That you shall hate, that they all nations shall hate you for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they come against us. But we understand that good is set against evil and the sinner against the ungodly. Because if you're comfortable in your sin, you got someone come up and saying, hey, brother, you know that's a sin. First off, when you throw the word out sin, people get shook immediately. The other day at work, someone was like, hey, fam, you want some of these ribs? I said, are they beef ribs? Nah, man, they're pork. Nah, I don't eat pork. Why not? Because it's a sin. What? It's a sin? What do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean pork is a sin? And I'm like, do you know what sin is? No. Well, sin is, well.
I've heard of that. Sin is when you do bad.
Sin's when you do bad.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you got a point, but.
Sin's when you miss the mark. Sin's when you fall short.
That's what you always say. Sin's when you miss the mark. But you know why they get that feeling? Because sin equals judgment.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's why they get so shook in their spirit. I said, no, that's a sin. He says, what? That's a sin. So we understand that when we go out and teach the true gospel as it is written, and the gospel was the good news, and the good news is, guess what? You so-called natives, Latins and blacks, you are God's chosen people.
That's right.
And that God sent his son, Jesus the Christ, to die for you and only you for the remission of your sins. All right? So when it says that the sinner is set against the godly and the godly against the sinner, we understand that there's going to be a power struggle. There's going to be a fight. The scripture says that with much tribulation we get the kingdom of God. So we know it's not going to be easy, but we understand that it's a fixed fight. We got to just stay the course. and endure. Read on. Verse 15.
Verse 15. So look upon all the works of the Most High.
See that? Look upon all the works of the Most High. It's the Most High that's behind every single thing. Read.
And there are two and two, and one against another.
So there's good set against evil. So the Most High has different spirits in this earth that's fulfilling his will, whether it be good or whether it be evil, just like we just read in the book of Isaiah 45. So let's go back to that again real quick. Isaiah 45.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
You see that? So I, the Lord, do all these things. So this past week, we just had an event in Houston, Texas, and it's being called Hurricane Harvey, and there's some people giving praise to Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. There's only Father God, all right, first and foremost. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. There's only Father God. And then you got other people saying that HARP is responsible for that. Have you guys heard of HARP?
Yeah, where the government controls
mm-hmm.
the weather.
Right,
and
exactly. Right.
All these conspiracy theories and Illuminati followers and what's it called? Individualites.
Right, exactly. And then that's the thing that gets me the most. It's one thing to see the other nations that actually believe that and, you know, buy into those conspiracy theories. But when you got people that say that they believe in God and they know that they're Israel, but won't give credit to God.
Man.
It was hard. They're doing it again.
I'm like, what Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading that you're thinking that it's a man that's controlling these things? Now, let's not be ignorant. We understand that the devil gave Esau certain knowledge and certain, you know, matter of fact, let's get it. Let's get Revelations real quick. Let's get the book of Revelations really, really fast. Because you give me Revelations 12 and you give me Job 30 and 29.
Gotcha.
Let's get Revelation 12 and give me verse
14.
Yes. Yes, verse 14.
Are we 13 and 14 or 12 and 14?
12 and 14.
12 and 14.
I want the one where it says that. Give me the one where it talks about that the dragon gave the red dragon his power.
Yes.
That's the one that I want. Give me Job real quick.
This is the book of Job, chapter 30, verse 29. I am a brother to dragons.
So now it says I am a brother to dragons. Again, speaking in what? Similitudes. All right. So the prophet Job is saying that he is a brother to dragons. Job was an Israelite, all right? Give me Genesis 25, verse 23 real quick. So let's see who the brother of the Israelites were in the very beginning, all right? The Bible says that precept must be upon precept, all right?
Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy valley.
So now this is back when Isaac was having his twins. All right. It says two manner of people and two different nations are in her womb. All right. Read on.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. That's why you see the blacks, Hispanics, kind of dominate everything that we put our hand into, whether it be sports, whether it be agriculture, whether it be, the various inventions that we've done throughout history. Black Wall Street was extremely, extremely profitable, and that's why they bombed it and blew it up, because Esau was losing money. You had other nations that wanted to come and do business and trade with Black Wall Street.
Mm.
Esau was like, nah, I got to shut that thing down.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to do for themselves, but we don't want them to do better than us. Exactly. Read on.
And the elder shall serve the younger. And where her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like in Harry Garden.
So there were twins in her womb, but we know that they weren't identical twins, because we already read that they would be different. They have different mannerisms. They would be separate. But it said the first came out red what?
All over, like in Harry Garden.
So meaning he had no melanin. The blood showed forth through his skin, all right? Read on.
And they called his name Esau.
Meaning, wasted away is he. All right. Again, because he had no melanin in his skin. This is the birth of the first Caucasian male in the earth. Read on.
And after that came his brother out.
So when Job said after that came his, or he's a brother to dragon, this is the brother to Jacob. It's Esau. Okay. The Caucasian race. Read on.
And after that came his brother, and his head took on hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob.
So they didn't describe what he looked like because he looked like everybody else in the earth. All right. From the time of Adam to Noah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everybody was dark skinned.
That's right.
All right. It was Esau that was the first Caucasian male born in the earth. Now, give me Revelation 13, verse 4. All right. I wanted to get that Genesis just to show who the dragon is and who the brother of Jacob is.
This is the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast.
So they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Read.
And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
So we know that the dragon received his power from the beast, which is the spiritual demon Satan. That's how he was able to make a suit and a machine that's going to endure space and be able to go land on the moon. That's how he knew how much fuel it took to get to the moon. How do you even begin to even calculate something like that?
Exactly.
All right. So we understand that through all his technologies that he's able to do a lot of different things. We understand that. But to give him credit for hurricanes that meteorologists are saying that they have never seen before, now that's giving him too much credit.
Worshiping the creature more than the creator.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
That's exactly what that thing is. And that's why it says the pride in thy heart has deceived thee. All right. Because the Edomite race, the Caucasian race, they're a very proud people. That's why it says that they set themselves up as God. And they say, who shall see me?
Mm-hmm.
I saw this preview of a movie where there's a hurricane and Esau, with their mind thoughts, they actually want to create solar spaces. Something in the space where there's a hurricane, they can shoot some stuff and stop the hurricane. Like, bro, stop. You can't do that.
Wow.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to stop something that the Lord created, you know?
See, but that's the thing, though. Right. This is how prideful that this man is.
Right.
When you read the scriptures, it talks about how when Christ makes his second coming, all right, the black Messiah to come redeem his people, again, you natives, Latins, and blacks, those of you that come back to your nationality as Israel, repent and keep the commandments and the faith of Christ, when he comes back to redeem you, he's going to put the other nations in slavery. All
right. That's right.
And the scripture says to reward them double. I was talking to someone just today,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling them, I said, God's a just God. I said, so you think that he's not going to make them pay for what they did to us? And he's like, well, I don't know. I said, bro, I wake up every day and I go to sleep every night glorifying that I serve a power that says, even though it may seem like it's taking a long time in your eyes,
mm-hmm.
I don't see time the way you do.
Right.
I gave you laws to keep. You broke them. I have to punish you.
Right.
So just hold on, just be patient. I got you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, bro, I'm telling you, I get chills every time I think about that thing. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I serve a power that says, you know what? All right, you've had enough. I'm going to come back now, and I'm going to redeem you and save you from your enemies.
Oh, crazy.
And then you can put your neck on or your foot on their necks.
That's
so,
true.
But being back to how prideful this man is, it says that once they go into slavery, their harsh bondage that they're going to serve, after 1,000 years, they're going to try to revolt. And that's when we just completely eradicate them off the earth.
That's right. Thus saith the Lord.
Now, that's after the second coming. They've seen the second coming. They've seen all these. They've seen us being transformed in the twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still going to try to fight against that.
Bro, that's a prideful spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's
very,
what it is.
Very.
That's what it is. And it's funny because like you tell somebody that, if you just really go into the scriptures and explain what the second coming is going to be like and explain the wilderness and you explain different things, it sounds like sci-fi.
It does. It does.
Esau is very, very crafty in how he sets up his movies and things like that. Like everything that like you're saying about that movie when they shoot things from space.
Yeah.
You hear that, you're like, that's freaking nonsense. But that's what people think when you tell them about the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And about how we're going to go up in the chariots, which the world ignorantly calls UFOs. Those are actually chariots, according to the Bible. So when we tell them these things, they're like...
Because they see it in the movies. And they don't know that Esau gets a lot of these things, superhero things, from the Bible.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
The people that make the movies, they study the Bible.
That's right.
And they get certain things from the Bible, make it into movies, and you know, we tell people, guess what? The second coming is going to be like this. And like, no, stop, man. You're sounding like the comic book.
Right. And then that's why I said that we live in a day and age where we believe that man created God rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Because they put that stuff all through their media. But now, getting back to today's topic again, is God is in the storm. The biblical explanation for Hurricane Harvey. Again, feel free to call in with questions or comments at 516-531-9797. Again, 516-531-9797. So we went into about how it's the Most High that's behind all these different things, right? The good and the evil. The scripture says that all things are done for good. Although on the surface it may seem like it's a terrible thing, all things are done for good. And the ultimate thing that's going to be done through this is the affliction of our people. Matter of fact, before you get those scriptures, Ashad, I know that you got some ready. Give me Hosea 5, verse 15 first. Hosea 5, verse 15. Because we as a people, the Most High calls the Israelites stiff-necked and rebellious. If things are going good in our lives, then we tend to forget to glorify the Most High for those blessings. It's only when we're going through it where we're like, oh, Lord, please help me. Help me, Jesus.
Right.
Jesus, help me, please.
Man.
So the Most High has to continually put his foot in our behinds. That way we can remember that we do serve the one true power. Read that.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
So the Most High gave the law to the nation of Israel. He said, if you keep these commandments, then you will receive these blessings. If you break these commandments, then you receive these curses. Well, what do? We broke the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're called African Americans and Navajos and Apache Indians and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and Haitians, Jamaicans. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
All right. The Proverbs and bywords for our people is continuous. But that's why we got stripped from our heritage. And that's why we're on the bottom of society today.
Right.
Because he broke God's laws. But so God said, okay, you know what? You don't want to listen to me? I'm going to go and return to my place until you acknowledge your offense. You do what First Kings says and you bethink yourself as an Israelite. There's no such thing as a Mexican or African American inheriting the kingdom of heaven. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
Only repented Israelites from the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, Reuben, Gad, Simeon. Those are the ones that are going to be inherited the kingdom of God. Read on.
And seek my face and their affliction, they will seek me early.
You see that? God's letting you know what it takes for you so-called Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans to actually wake up and come back to him. It says, in your affliction will you seek me early.
When Trump is kicking your butt through these laws he's passing, you so-called Native and Hispanics and Blacks, that's when you're going to seek God.
Right. You know what's funny is this past week we actually touched on the topic, but I'm going to go ahead and just go into it real quick. Joe Arpaio was deemed America's toughest sheriff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Openly racist. He had a lot of different things that he did that were targeted against mainly the so-called Hispanics. And he was found guilty of these things, and he was waiting to be sentenced in October. Well, before that came up, Donald Trump said, no, you know what? I'm going to use my presidential powers and I'm going to pardon him. If that's not the biggest slap in the face for you so-called Hispanics, he was found guilty by his peers of the things he did. And then you got people jumping up still saying, oh yeah, that's within Donald Trump's power. I mean, it is. I mean, again, at the end of the day, that's why we read, good is set against evil. If anything, that just increases my faith, because now that slap in the face should continue to wake up you so-called Hispanics especially.
That's right.
But read that again, Hosea 5, verse 15.
Hosea 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
So we have to be afflicted as a people in order to come back and serve God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We have to be. That's not a suggestion. That's them saying, in their affliction, they will seek me early. All right, you take the biggest, roughest, toughest thug, all right, off the block, and you put him in jail, and you tell him, hey, you're going to get a life sentence, and you're going to be waiting for the death penalty. He's going to cry like a baby, and then be praying to white Jesus. Guaranteed. 10 times out of 10. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
Right away.
But, hey, it is what it is. So, you got some scripts there, Soldier Ishaya?
Yes, I do. All right, so we're going to go into how the Most High create these storms. All right, I want to get Psalms 107 and verse 25.
The book of Psalms, chapter 107 and verse 25.
Matter of fact, start in 24, please.
Verse 24. These see the works of the Lord and its wonders in the deep.
Uh-huh.
For he commanded and raiseth the storm, which the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof.
So this is talking about the Most High, which he commands with his voice and makes up these storms and winds that come upon, like the Hurricane Harvey, Katrina. All right, that's all work of the Most High.
Right. Sandy Hook, that took place.
Mm-hmm.
In what, 2012, over on the East Coast, that just completely destroyed, like...
I'm sorry. What was that one in Japan?
Oh, the tsunami in Japan?
That's
you
right.
Know what? You know, it's funny. The bishop actually taught a class on that, and it's an excellent video. But every time we put it up, Ammon always, like, reports it, I guess. And it just always goes down.
No way.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Like I tell people about it all the time. But, like, what video is that? I'm like, dude, you haven't seen it.
It's
good.
It's a very good one.
Yeah.
Biblical prophecy that was going to happen to the children of Ammon, who are the Japanese today.
Right.
Read verse 29.
Verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still.
So the Most High can make storms, windy storms like hurricanes, tsunamis, but he can also make them calm. So we have them on a regular basis day. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you got anything else?
No. Go ahead. But just to touch on this, it says, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind. All right. That he's manipulating the elements is what he's doing. That's how he's bringing forth these hurricanes and these different storms in these diverse places. When you read back in history in the book of Exodus, it was raining, but there was fire.
Right. Yeah.
Water's supposed to put out fire, but there has to be a higher power that can manipulate these things to where God says, no, that's not going to be so. It was the same thing in the Sandy Hook hurricane that took place out in New York a few years back. It was things that were burning down, and it was just pouring rain, but the fire didn't go nowhere.
Let me prove that with the scriptures. I found the scriptures that says the same thing you're saying right now. This is the book of 2 Ezra chapter 13 and verse 10. But only I saw that he sent out of his mouth as it had been a blast of fire, and out of his lips a flaming breath, and out of his tongue he cast out sparks and a tempest.
A tempest is talking about strong winds, just for those that don't understand biblical lingo. Go ahead, explain it.
The Most High could do all this within a matter of time, in a matter of moments. He can, like the officer was saying, there's fire going on and raining, but it wasn't being put out. The Most High controls all the elements.
You know what? Maybe I was thinking about Ezra of Exodus, because I was quoting this exact thing.
Right.
And then, like, the next verse, it says, and they are all mixed together, the blast of fire, the flaming breath, and a great tempest, and fell with violence upon the multitude, which was prepared to fight and burn them up, every one, so that upon a sudden of an innumerable multitude, none thing was to be perceived, but only dust and smell of smoke. And I saw this, and I was afraid.
Mm.
You see that?
Man, the Most High, man.
You can tell me that a man can manipulate the elements in a way to where water can't put out fire?
Right.
There's just no way.
Absolutely not.
There's no way. Harp or not.
Harp or exactly. Harp or not for you individualites.
Let's say harp does exist. Let's say harp does exist. Who cares? Who cares? That's just like the endless debate that's this new thing on Earth for some reason that the Earth is flat.
Right.
Who cares if it is?
Are you getting salvation with that?
Right.
Now what?
Right. there is no such thing as you stepping up to your gate and then also you get a pop quiz whether or not the earth is flat.
The angel says, stop. I got one question for you.
Right.
Prove to me that the earth is flat.
Let's say you're a repentant Israelite and you happen to be caught up in this past hurricane, right? Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The scripture says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you happen to be a part of this hurricane and you lost your life and now you're laying at rest, waiting for the second coming of Christ, right? When you get risen up first, your salvation is not going to be whether you can answer correctly if God did that or if Harp did that.
Exactly.
Bro. Man.
Again, the whole conspiracy thing, I get those things because back when before I was enlightened and knew this truth, I wasn't into conspiracy theories. It was
here.
It was just more so it was interesting more than me actually believing most of it.
Right.
But then you get caught up in it and you're like, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
What if?
I mean, if they did this, they could also be doing this.
Right. You know.
I had to repent of that.
You know. So I get it. I get it for people that are asleep and they're still in darkness. I get that. Our prayer is that you wake up out of that foolishness, come back and serve God. That way you can get salvation. But again, it's the people that know there is rule that say that God doesn't control the weather. It frustrates me to a point to where I just got to come back and read the scriptures because it says that if the scriptures they give me patience and hope and comfort and everything else.
Right.
You know, I understand that there's a 2/3 club. All right.
There is.
2/3 of every single Black, Hispanic, and Native Americans are going to die when Christ returns. I understand that.
For being rebellious and thinking that Harp was made.
You know, I mean.
Damn.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
You got something else, brother?
Yeah. Psalms 148 and verse 8. Okay, all the scriptures I was looking up today earlier. It's about just how the Most High creates all these things. And he doesn't even have to stretch his hand. He just, with his words, creates these things, right?
The book of Psalms, chapter 148, verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Fulfilling his word.
Mm.
You just have to say it, and they're done. Hurricane,
bro.
And they start up.
That's exactly what Ezra was saying. Same,
right.
Same thing.
Bro, precept must be upon precept, right? That thing is heavy. And you know what? I'm glad that you pulled this particular scripture because it says fulfilling his word. All right. This goes back to the very beginning when he said, and God said, let there be light.
And there was light.
And he used his word to fulfill these things. That thing is heavy, man. Mm.
Can I say something with this officer?
Of course.
It says, you said it's fulfilling his word. That's heavy. That goes back to Hosea 5:15.
Yes.
Because us being afflicted, that's going into that. That's going to that thing
right
there. Fulfilling his word. That's what it's telling you right there. We have to get afflicted by these things. These the fire, the hail, the snow, the vapor. It has to be fulfilled.
Right, exactly. Let me get Colossians 1 real quick. Colossians 1 and verse 25. All right. Colossians 1 verse 25. Anytime you first got some precepts to bring out that you want to segue into something else, we're always going to come back and tie it up into the same topic, which is God is in the storm. But you know how the spirit goes.
Yeah.
It just takes different places.
Yeah,
Colossians 1, verse 25.
The book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
So we are made the ministers of God. Now, our peers look at us as we're just Negroes, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
Right, the average Joe.
Right, the average Joe. Who are these people that are rising up and thinking that they know the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
It was the same thing back with the disciples. They were like, who are these guys? Like, they're unlearned because they learned from that carpenter.
Right.
It's the same thing with us. Who are these guys that work warehouse jobs and work landscaping jobs and work jobs at you know, these things that aren't esteemed as quality jobs and status and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it says that God made us the ministers for you to enlighten you. It says to fulfill the word of God. So when we look and turn on the news and we see Hurricane Harvey in Houston, we can come to the scriptures and say, look, that's in the Bible. God said that that would happen. In the last days, there would be earthquakes in diverse places.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we understand these things, but read on, verse 26.
Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
So the mystery that you so-called natives, Latins and blacks, are the Israelites, that was hid for ages and generations. But now in these last days, we thank the Lord for the mercy that he has showed upon us to be able to enlighten us once again and wake us up. All right. That we were being punished, like how it was said in Hosea 5, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
We were being afflicted. And in our affliction, guess what? We sought God early. All right. It says the spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the son of God. So if your spirit bears witness with these curses that are in the Bible and the prophecies in the Bible, then you are an Israelite. All right. You're not an American. You're not an African-American. None of these bywords that the nations have put on us. I was born in 1986. That's the same year that the term African-American was even invented. How am I the same age as my nationality? That makes no sense whatsoever.
It's foolishness.
It makes no sense. But it is what it is. So it says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. All right? So these are the things that we can come back and read to and understand that, yes, for a supposition of time, it was lost to us because he had to go and turn his back on us and return to his place. But now, rather than buying into all the conspiracy theories and all these things, when we see storms like Hurricane Harvey going on, these things just do nothing but increase our faith because we can come to the Bible and tie it into what's happening today.
Right. I was like that, where the conspiracy theory. But I got to a point, and I was like, okay, I see what the devil is doing. What am I supposed to be doing to get salvation? What am I going to do in the day when Christ comes back? So that's when I started looking for answers and not problems, you know what I mean?
You know
what? I had to repent.
Give me a 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, real quick. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, real quick. Now, you know what? Start at verse 6.
The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
That's not the point I wanted, but I want to start there because I love to read that. For those that say that the other nations aren't going to go into captivity and that they'll say, well, I didn't have any slaves, not knowing that there's a such thing as regeneration. You did have slaves, you just don't remember. But this is the New Testament. I love reading that when it says that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense those that trouble you. You ask the typical Negro or Hispanic on the block, who's your trouble? He's going to look at his brother, not knowing that God's painting a much bigger picture here and letting you know that there's nations that are conspired against you to keep you in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're in the worst kind of slavery now because now rather than having the physical yokes of iron and things like that, we're now in mental bondage because we've been broken as a people. But read on.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
So this is going into the second coming of Christ. Now, again, this is the New Testament. Right? Now, modern day Christianity and these other different organized religions, they all say that they believe in the New Testament, right?
Yes.
But then you ask them, how do you get to heaven or what's going to happen when Christ comes back? They'll tell you Oh, he's going to come back. He's going to save all, but everybody, we're going to go to heaven and fly around like angels. But let's read verse 8.
In flaming fire.
Uh-oh. In what?
In flaming fire.
That don't sound like hugs, lollipops, and puppies.
Right.
It says in flaming fire to do what?
Taking vengeance on them that know not God.
Give me that scripture, Ashai, that says, hereby we know that we know him.
If we do keep his commandments.
Yes.
Damn, what's that?
Give me that one real quick.
Okay.
Read that again.
In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God.
You see them? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That thing is heavy, man. So we're going to see what it means to actually know God. Because, again, precept must be upon precept. And I came here because the soldier was saying that, okay, he sees what Satan's doing in the earth, but what does he have to do for his salvation? All right? So it says, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Let's see how we know God.
This is the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him.
So we do know that we know the Most High in Christ. Read.
If we keep his commandments.
If there's the stipulation. You only know God in Christ if you keep his commandments. Now, if you don't keep his commandments, this the flip side. Read.
Verse 4. He that saith they know him and keep not his commandments.
For you say, no, I know God. I know Christ.
He loves.
I have a personal relationship with the Father. I've heard that so many times. And it's like, okay, describe your personal relationship to me then. Like, what does that even mean? You have a personal relationship with God.
How is he? Or how is this, his personality?
You're like, oh, yeah? You have a personal relationship? What does it look like? He's many colors. He's all colors.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous. But reverse 4 again.
He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments.
So you say that you know God in Christ, but you don't keep commandment 1. Read.
Is a liar.
Is a what?
Is a liar.
Is a liar. Read on.
And the truth is not in him.
And the truth, according to Psalm 119, verse 142, is God's laws. Man. So no, you only know God if you keep God's laws. All right? So now, again, let's get back to more on this storm. Give me Isaiah 29, verse 6. Isaiah 29 and verse 6.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, with storm and tempest and flame of devouring fire.
You see that? It says that thou shalt be visited of the Lord. These are one of the signs and wonders that we look for here in these last days when these things go on. Now, being in darkness and not knowing exactly who's behind these things, you know, you're like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, people at my job are losing their damn minds over this hurricane. They're like, man, you see what's going on? And I try to keep a real professional at work, you know. Mm-hmm. People ask questions, obviously, when they see your fringes every single day. Right. You know, they the days that I do have to work Sabbath, they'll see me never buy anything from the vending machine. So they ask questions like, hey, how come I never see you buy a Monster on Saturdays? Or they'll say, how come I never see you bring food in to heat up on Saturdays? Like they notice these things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, I'll go into some stuff here and there, but they were losing their minds. Like, yo, like, do you see what's going on? And it just came out. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'll praise the Most High, man. I freaking love that thing. They're like, what? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, I just understand that those are signs that Christ said to look for.
What'd they say?
Nothing. He's just like, oh, okay. And because this particular dude that did say something to me, he has asked questions, and he actually wants to come to the school and learn.
I'll praise
him. It's just one of those things where I think it just sounds good, you know? I mean, it's
better.
It sounds great to know that you're
Israel,
mm-hmm. you know, an Israelite from the tribe of, you know, Judah or Issachar or Levi. You know, that sounds great to know that you're a chosen vessel of God.
Right.
You could see that you fit the curses and the prophets. Like, man,
this friendship, yeah.
That's what's up. And then you're like, wait, hold on, I can't cook on Saturdays.
No. Nope.
I can't eat shrimp and crab and lobster and pork.
You can't go party. What? And then they start to lose it.
Speaking of party, I had a dude at work. The same one that said, do I want some ribs, right? When I told him no and I explained why, he was like, yo, like, tell me some more. So he started asking questions. So I'm like, okay, I'll give him a little bit. You know, so I'm throwing some salt there for him. He's like, man, this is heavy. He's like, man, you know what? What do you know about crosses? I was like, what do you mean about crosses? He's like, I mean, are they good or bad? I said, they're bad because they're idols. They're graven images.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, you know what? I actually agree with that. It makes sense. First off, as he's wearing it, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, if it made sense, then you would take it off. I said, but why do you agree with it? Like, how does it make sense? He says, because a few weeks ago I was in a club and some guy came up to me and told me the same thing. I said, bro, a guy in a club came to you and told you that your cross is bad. That'd be like me going into a cancer ward in a hospital where people have lung cancer smoking a cigarette and trying to tell them to not smoke cigarettes.
Bro, man.
Israel is bugged out. I'm telling you, our people are completely
destroyed, man.
But let me get Romans 15 verse 4 real quick.
Man, that's what judge ye lest ye would, or I can't quote it, you know.
Just not lest you be judged.
That's exactly what that's going into.
but people don't want to start up in verse 1 and read on down.
Right.
They just go straight to that one. Judge not lest you be judged. What did it say?
Only God can judge.
Only God can judge me. I'm like, okay, Tupac.
Tupac is not in the Bible.
The book of Tupac, chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
So Paul let us know in the book of Romans 15, verse 4, he said that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, and they're supposed to comfort us and build our faith. That's what hope is. It's faith. So when we read in Isaiah 29, verse 6, when it says, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquakes and great noise, with storm and tempest and a flame of devouring fire. Those things increase our faith because we understand that we go back and we read these things because Isaiah was a prophet. He prophesied of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And let's prove that. Give me Isaiah 30 and verse 8.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table. And note it in a book.
So this is not a suggestion, but this is a commandment the Lord has given to Isaiah. And he said, go write it before them in a table and note it in a book. The book is the Bible. Read.
That it may be for the time to come, forever and ever.
So that way it may be for the time to come and for the future, forever and ever. Because everything this Bible says, has, is, and will come to pass.
That's right.
The scripture can't be broken. All right? The scripture can't be broken. That's why people ignorantly say, when is Christ going to return? It's been the last days for over 2,000 years. Not understanding that the scripture can't be broken. Things must come to pass. Mm-hmm. Prophecies have to be fulfilled before the next prophecy can be fulfilled. But it says that these may be for a time to come forever and ever. So when Isaiah 29 said that we would be visited with these tempests, these storms, we understand that that's talking about here in these last days, and they're only increasing, all right? And that's because God is continuing to show his signs to let us know time is getting short. Get yourself right. My son will return. Christ don't know when he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when he's coming back. The angels don't know when he's coming back. But God knows when he's coming back. But he's given us little hints and subtleties and signs so we can say, okay, you know what? There it is. Because Israel's so wicked. I mean, we're wicked as hell as a people that if we knew the day and the hour that he'd come back, we would just stay in wickedness until, like,
absolutely,
2 minutes before.
The day before or something. All right.
Wait, hold on. He's coming at 12:30? Okay, let me just smoke weed until 12:29 and then repent.
And then I'll repent, go face the east, pray, the day before I'll fast and I'll be good. I'll praise the Most High. And I'm still going to make it to the kingdom after all I did.
And you know what? That's what they ignorantly think.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. It's terrible.
That's a Caesar Borgia in their mind, man. They think everything's gonna be good. You know, at the end of the day, I was good, man. I worked, even though I had a 2 baby mamas, man. I still take care of my family. You know, I paid my child support.
Right,
bro.
You know,
stuff right, man.
It is what it is. So, we're under the banner of Israel United in Christ. That's our congregation. We're here in Phoenix, Arizona. Our headquarters is located in New York, and we're in almost every major city the U.S. We're in various countries. Because you can't stop what God says going to happen. He said that there will be little sanctuaries for his people to go to and learn. So that's what we're establishing now. And he said his people will wake up. So that's what we're seeing on a global effort. So one of our schools is actually located in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all praise to the Most High that the school is 110% intact. The school didn't get damaged whatsoever.
All praise to the Most High.
Every single member of the body of IUIC Houston is fine. There was one family. There was a soldier and his wife lost their apartment in their car. But first, let me get Psalms 34, verse 7. All right. Psalm 34, verse 7. You know, we want to give all praise to the Most High in Christ for preserving our school. That way, our brothers and sisters still have a place to go and learn at. But give me that.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them.
You see that? So those that fear God keep the commandments. You keep the commandments, the Lord's telling you, hey, don't worry, I got you. All right? And that's proof of what we've seen out there in Houston. Every single member is perfectly fine. The school is still intact.
All praise to the Most High.
And all praise to the Most High. The family that did lose their belongings, give me Acts 4 or Acts 2, whichever one that talks about having the abundance.
Church.
All right? Because you know what? As you get that, I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but on Facebook, someone had put that we have to be working for the government because there's no way that Negroes or African Americans can be that disciplined, that organized,
right,
and be that unselfish, be willing to help each other.
Where they said that we are, it's like a group, we're being controlled, we're being, they gave us costumes and whatnot.
Right.
To
right.
play a role.
They said there's no way that African Americans can love each other like they love themselves this much, to where they can organize so disciplined and so well. They have to be working for the government.
Right.
No, actually, we just follow the commandments of God that says to love your neighbor like yourself.
Right.
And then in part to the soldier that lost his belongings, read that real quick.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold.
You see that? It says there was none among the Israelites that lacked.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If we have the means to do so, then we're going to look out for our brothers and for our sisters. And that's exactly what we're doing for our brother and his wife out in Houston, Texas. They lost their apartment, lost their belongings. So we're coming together as a body to ensure that they're taken care of, all right? Unlike these mega churches, and you know we're gonna touch on that, how Joel Osteen didn't open his church to the freaking refugees.
Bro,
you know we're definitely gonna touch on that. But you mean tell me that Joel Osteen has never read that?
Oh, hey, man.
Oh yeah, he's definitely read that.
Joel Osteen's net worth is over $56 million. $56 million.
He could have gave $1 million and still been good.
And still been perfectly fine.
Man, he said, Negroes and Hispanics, and they're coming into my church now. Close it down.
No.
Joe Osteen is the devil the Bible speaks of.
That's right.
Because this man said, I can't, first off, let's put it like this. Joe Osteen's church used to be the old Houston Rockets Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just some four walls, you know, with some drywall and, you know, it used to be a basketball stadium.
Right.
That could fit 17,000 people. Now, that's 17,000 seats. That's not 17,000 people in general, because you still got the floor, you still got the back, you still got everything. So let's just give it 20,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Osteen says that he's unable to open the doors to his church because of severe flooding inside of it, right? Now, our people, when we see the so-called white man, those of us that are still destroyed in that decayed state, we see Jesus, because Jesus has been depicted as a white man throughout the earth for the past, 600 years? So when Jesus, you know, as we see him, says, oh, sorry, I can't let you in because my church is flooded, we say, oh, okay, Master.
I understand.
Master wouldn't lie to us.
Damn, bro.
You guys know how he got revealed that he was lying?
How?
His own people.
Oh, they took a picture?
It was an Edomite that did a Facebook Live video and went to the church and then showed that it wasn't flooded at all. And then all of a sudden, the script flips and it's like, oh, you know, we're just ensuring that that they exhausted all the other means and shelters and things like that. It's like, bro, exhaust what means? You have the biggest building probably for people to come seek refuge.
Bro.
That's a son of perdition being revealed.
That's what it is. It, bro, I'm telling you, you hit the nail on the head. Like, I am not going to be surprised when the devil is the devil. If anything, that's for me to look and tell people that don't keep the commandments, look.
Can't you see?
Like, do you not see this?
Bro.
While he's over in his $10 million mansion, chilling, because that's how much his house costs, $10 million. Trust me, I looked all this stuff up today.
Damn.
His house costs, while he's chilling in his $10 million mansion, he's locked his church to not let people in. For what? For what reason?
I seen this picture on Instagram where someone sent him a message. Why didn't you let the referee go into your church? And he blocked them.
You know what? Actually, he blocked me too.
no way.
Not nothing recent, but you know, you first come into the truth and you're like, you pull a deal. I said, I'm gonna hit up all these blind pastors.
All praises.
And I was blasting all of them, and they all blocked me. And I was like, yeah, it is what it is. But I'm like, you know what? That means I know he read it.
Yeah.
Hey, all praises.
Give me Leviticus 17 verse 11 real quick, because again, Joel Osteen is supposedly a man of God,
a prophet,
a man of the shield. Yeah. All right, he's supposed to uphold God's word. All right, let's get a commandment out of the Bible that he did not follow. Why? Because he's not a man of God. He's a businessman that uses that perverts the word of God for his own personal gain. Leviticus 17 verse 11.
The book of Leviticus, verse 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood.
That's 17, verse 11?
Yeah.
Let me see.
17, 11?
Talk real quick. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 19, 11.
Okay.
19, 11.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 19.
I thought I was in the spirit and didn't have to look, but yeah.
Had to bethink yourself.
Right, I had to bethink myself.
Leviticus 19, verse 11.
But that 17, 11 is good, too. Go ahead and highlight that one as well.
Precepts.
Right. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another.
You see that? You see that? That's a law that says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely. When you deal falsely, that means you're omitting things, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving half-truths, all right?
Right.
Now, he didn't even do that, even though dealing falsely and lying is one and the same. But because our people are crafty, they'll say, well, I didn't lie. So the Most High has to cover all bases and say, okay, don't deal falsely or lie. It's the same thing. But it says, nor lie one to another. That man blatantly lied and said, the church is flooded, so I can't let you guys in.
Right.
Not a drop of water. So...
Not a drop of water anywhere.
Damn death.
But hey, you know what it is? What it is? Give me Lamentations 4, verse 17. This is what it comes down to. This is what it really comes down to. This Lamentations 4, verse 17, along with Hosea 5, verse 15.
That's a beautiful scripture right there, man. Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes yet has failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot save us.
So we understand that we as repentant Israelites, that our only salvation, matter of fact, give me that real quick. Isaiah 43, verse 11. And you read that from the top one more time. And read it slow.
Lamentations chapter 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes has yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us.
You see that? It says that we watch for our vain help, meaning it's unprofitable. It's lies. We're promised all these things. I mean, it goes back to what? 40 acres and a mule?
You got it.
Still waiting on that. Still waiting on that. But yet the Jewish receive reparations for the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Oh, billions a year, right?
Right. You got Ammon that received reparations for
Hiroshima.
For when they were put in, and I don't even want to call them concentration camps because they weren't. They were just taken and put in tents, like these little camps. Refugee camps, pretty much.
Right. Okay.
For just like a like a little certain amount of time, but then they all got paid for it.
Right.
Someone came out recently, and they said, what did they say? I'm trying to think of exactly how it was worded. I don't want to butcher it. But basically, us having equal rights is basically our reparations.
Damn. No, we do not have equal rights. You Hispanic, you're still waiting for a green card.
That's right. You know what? When you use the word reparations, right? That's the repayment of something for us that is deserved, right? Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, there's no amount of reparations that they can give us as a nation of people, because we built this entire country off of labor. And they'll say, oh, get over it. Slavery was over, 150 years ago. But first off, it's not, because after that, you had the Black Codes. After that, you had the Jim Crow laws.
Yeah.
And then after that, you had Martin Luther King that came in and destroyed us and told us, let's be integrated instead of separated, even though being segregated is of God. But that's a different topic. Now, they said, so there's no amount of money they can actually give us. That's why our reward has to be the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
and to have them in servitude. But so it says, in our watching, we have watched for a nation that cannot save us, because we were brought here as a punishment by God for disobeying him. And he used the nations to have us in servitude to build America, not for us, but it was built by us. When you read the Declaration of Independence, and it says, we the people does not include you so-called Hispanics, Natives, and Blacks.
It does not
include you guys, because you guys were all in slavery at the time, all right? Yes, Hispanics, you were in slavery 127 years before Blacks were.
Yes.
Now, the Natives were the last ones to go down, and that's Bible prophecy,
mm-hmm.
but at the time of the Declaration of Independence in the 1700s, guess what? You were fighting against that white man in war. So when he said, we the people, he wasn't including the people he was trying to kill and take their land.
Right.
That wouldn't make any sense.
That's why they have a holiday after your destruction, Thanksgiving.
Right. You know what? They used to have a Thanksgiving dinner every single day.
Same.
They had it every single day. Every time they would go to a different village, because George Washington, again, we're digressing from the topic, but again, that's the spirit, right? Every time George Washington would go to a different village, because his nickname was the Village Destroyer, that was his nickname.
Damn.
When he would go to a different village and they would massacre everybody, then they would have a Thanksgiving dinner. And it was the turkey that represented the body. It was the stuffing that represented their guts. The cranberry sauce that represented the blood.
Right.
And it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln came along and said, you know what, let's have it one day a year.
These devils, man. And our people still want to be, I forgive them of the past, but, they're still breaking these treaties, but I still love them.
So. You know what? And then back in the world, I was never really big in the holidays, but I followed the whole concept of, it's not really celebrating that. It's just getting together with family. Even though you can do that 364 other days of the year, but again, our people have been destroyed for a complete lack of knowledge. But it says that we have watched for a nation that cannot save us. All right, the man that has you in servitude and has you at the bottom of society for his own personal benefit, he's not going to save you. He's not going to save you. If you were the CEO of a company, and the mailroom clerk came up to you and said, hey, I want your job, let's switch jobs, you ain't going to say, okay. You can say, no, back to the mailroom, start sorting the mail.
What the hell is this?
You're not going to give up your preeminence of being the CEO of a major multi-billion dollar company, or whatever the case may be, to switch jobs and salaries with the mailroom clerk. That's not going to happen. And that's the best way that I can put it for you Blacks and Hispanics. We are the mailroom clerks, and we're looking to the CEO for help. That's not going to happen. Nope. Now, read Isaiah 43, verse 11.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
You see that? That's why we're looking for vain help, unprofitable help everywhere else, because the Lord let us know, I'm the Lord, and beside me there's nobody else. Because I'm the only Savior. I'm the only one that can bring you out of these conditions. I love the book of Isaiah.
Yeah, and that's it. We got to understand. That's talking about you so-called Native Americans, Latins, and Blacks.
Right. Right. Exactly. Because, again, salvation is only for you so-called Blacks, Hispanics, mm-hmm. and Native Americans. That may be hard for some to believe. It wasn't so hard for me to really believe it, because I was looking for something anyways. But I... would be lying if I said that it didn't kind of be like, whoa, that kind of sounds kind of crazy to me. Because you don't hear that growing up, that God's only for one nation of people.
Mm-hmm.
No. Even though when you read from Genesis to Revelations, he talks about the Israelites over and over and over again.
Oh, Israel, my people, Israel.
You know, as Captain Farman always like to say, it's written over, 2,000-something times in the Bible?
Right.
Even in the book of Revelations, it tells you there was 12 gates that had the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. But that goes over everybody's head.
That's the end of the day. It's like, how many gates are in the kingdom? 12. For who? The children of Israel. Stop.
All right. Let me get the book of Job, chapter 5 and verse 11. Just going back real quick, because again, the topic is God is in the storm. All right. We're debunking the whole notion that man created a thing called HARP, and HARP is the one that dictates the weather and starts these hurricanes and these different earthquakes and so on and so forth, right? When you subscribe to that, then you're taking all the glory off of God. Now, if you are of the other nations, meaning outside of Black, Hispanic, Native American, then that's fine. You can do that because you have no God anyways. But for those of you that are so-called Native, Latin, and Black on your father's side, because your father carries the seed, it's time for you to come out of that BS and repent as Israel. Read that.
That's right. This is the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 11. To set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety.
It says to set up on high those that may be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. All right. So we're the ones that are set low, that the Most High is going to set up on high. All right. Everything's being flipped upside down right now. Or should I say right side up? Right? Because Esau flipped everything upside down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't like to say common sense because now it's common to everybody. But when you just ask this simple question, who taught you? It doesn't have to be religion. It can just be anything in general. How do you learn? Because our people don't have any kind of school systems and things like that.
No.
So anything we learn is through Esau's media, his publications, his books, his literature, everything else, all right? But it says that we put on high, read verse 12.
Verse 12, he disappointed the devices of the crafty.
You see that? He disappoints the devices of the crafty, all right? So even if there is a such thing as HARP,
mm-hmm.
then the Most High is going to disappoint that. So that's why we don't get caught up in that. That's why I can care less. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, because, you know, they creep in on Facebook, you know, and then you'll see a post. Like, there's a post for a brother that was actually with a congregation. And he puts, did you know that what's happening in Houston? Or did you know that the government's behind what's happening in Houston?
Oh.
So I'm like, hey, this guy's a mutual friend of mine. Hold on. Like, mm-hmm. I only add people that I know ain't come with no BS. It happens a lot, though. People hear something and they bug out and then. Bro, it was like a gazillion comments that people were like commenting going back and forth
right.
about HARP. I'm like, that's so unprofitable. And then I check my spirit because I'm sitting here reading. You know? Wasting my freaking lunch break at work reading about HARP comments. I'm like, man, let me check my damn spirit, man. Let me finish my spaghetti and get back to work.
Bro.
Like, what the hell is this? Really? But read it again.
Job 5 verse 12. He disappointed the devices of the crafty.
So the crafty is starting with the so-called white man, the Edomites. The Bible speaks of. Mm-hmm. All right, they are the crafty ones. They're the ones that taught us that God is white, Christ is white, the angels are white, the prophets are white. That we're minorities when really we're the majority. He's the crafty one that says, hey, pay them on Fridays so they can go and break the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything is designed to keep us in sin. They're 1,000 steps ahead of us, but they're 1,000 steps behind God.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter. So he says that he disappointed the devices of the crafty. So whether it be HARP or whether it be concentration camps, where they say they're going to put us in like FEMA camps.
The FEMA camps.
Right, right. You know, I was actually pretty heavy into that. I was like, yo, they're putting trains and stuff.
Right.
And like they're going to like close them up and gas everybody.
I was heavy into all the conspiracy.
Yeah.
I had to repent, bro.
I'm telling you, this scripture, when I first heard this, I was like, yo, this is heavy. This is heavy. It says that he disappointed the device of the crafty, read.
So that their hands cannot perform their enterprise.
You see that?
Mm.
So their hands can. So whatever they have planned is going to be brought to naught.
Yeah.
That's why we don't worry about it. Now, those of you that may be newly repenting and coming in, that still wrestle with certain things, you know, hey, I'm not going to say, oh, you're the devil because you have certain thoughts, things like that. But as your faith gets built up, it's easier to understand, okay, that's improper for me even think about that.
Right.
Because there's stuff that goes on the earth now, and I'm like, dang, that's crazy. But then I got to stop and think, like, nah, who cares? God's behind it anyways.
Right. I'll be the same thing. Like, man, what are they doing behind closed doors? And then at the end of the day, I'm like, bro, the Most High's bringing destruction. You just got to get yourself right, and you'll be saved.
Right. I'll tell you what they're doing behind closed doors. They're panicking right now. They're panicking because – give me 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. They are panicking right now, and they're coming up with ways to try to keep us in darkness.
The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means.
So it says, so Paul's saying to the church of Thessalonica, all right, he's saying, don't let no one lie to you by any means, no matter what they say, don't be lied to, read.
For that day shall not come.
That day is talking about the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says Christ cannot return except what?
Except there come a falling away first.
So that falling away first had to be all 12 tribes of Israel had to go into captivity, right? It happened in different stages, all right? There had to be a falling away first, all right? These other nations that, because they'll say, well, everyone was in slavery at one point in time. Yeah, but they came out of slavery knowing who they were still. So it took a supposition of time for us to be broken through our different captivities, because when we came out of Babylon, we knew we were Israel.
Right.
When we came out of Persia and Me, we knew we were Israel.
Yeah.
We came out of Syria, we knew we were Israel. Same with Rome, same with Greece. It wasn't until we got completely broken here in America that we no longer subscribe to our surname Israel, but we put on the titles that our oppressors gave us.
That's why it says, till thou be destroyed, that he shall put yokes of iron until thou be destroyed.
Right, exactly. And we have been completely destroyed as a people. So it says that day shall not come first unless they're coming falling away first. Right, read on.
And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
And that's what's happening right now. That's why I said that they're panicking, because it doesn't say that sin must be revealed. It says that the man of sin must be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Psalms 96, verse 20. 96, verse 20. So that's why I said that they're panicking, because guess what? They're being revealed that they are the man of sin, that they are the devil the Bible speaks of.
There's no 20 on 96.
Hold on real quick. Let me get there. Let me get Psalms 96 and verse... I'm sorry, 94, verse 20.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 94, verse 20.
There I go again.
Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee?
So that's the question, all right? Shall the throne of iniquity, all right, because who sits on the chiefest seat of sin, all right, the so-called white man, the Edomites, it says, shall their throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? Read.
Which frameth mischief by a law.
So he frames his sin by a law.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So through hundreds of years, we've been conditioned to just live in sin and be okay with it. And they don't do it. It's like not an overnight thing. They do it real subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they slowly condition us to these things. 20 years ago, you didn't see homosexuality so open as it is now.
Right.
There was homosexuality, don't get me wrong. But now it's more so, if you say anything against it, now it's considered a hate crime.
Right.
Now it's being so accepted that if you don't accept it, it's like you're like, whoa, what do you mean you don't accept the fact mm-hmm. that they're unisex or that they're bisexual?
Exactly.
Now there's this thing called neutral gender raising, where parents are raising their kids not as boys or girls, but they're letting them choose. How much damn sense does that make? Like, your son is born with male genitals, but you're teaching him that he's not a boy or a girl, and you let him choose.
That's crazy.
That's wickedness. That's a big devil, bro.
That's it. But going back to my point, that's why I said that they're panicking right now, because they're being revealed
right.
as the son of perdition, all right? Because they were given their power and their seat of authority by the Most High to just afflict us.
Right.
And I have to keep reminding myself that, like, don't be mad at Esau for being the devil. He's just good at his job.
Right.
He's just playing his position.
The Most High is with
him. Right, exactly.
Right.
Bro, that's exactly what it is. Like, if anything, let me be mad at myself and at my people, because we're the ones that transgress.
I had to think of that this week. There's this Edomite they put me to work with, and he was so cocky, right? And like, bro, it's my first couple of days there. I've yet to master my job here. And he was like, no, you're doing this wrong. You're going to piss people off if you work like that. And I was thinking to myself, like, damn, Edomite, bro, you just right here because I sinned against God. You know what? I'm gonna be patient. The Most High is going to give me, you know what I mean, salvation. We'll see what happens. But for now, it was me. It wasn't you. It was me and Israel who sinned.
Mm-hmm. I'll be the first to admit, I can't stand Edomites.
Mm.
You know, the scripture says live peaceably among all men. So I'm not going to be ignorant and go out there and start some hate campaign against them when I know that we're in servitude to them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing with me. I'll be at work and I see them and they're just like, just lazy, and they complain about everything.
Man.
I'm like, man. But give me Psalms 17, verse 13. Going back to what the soldier said, that they're just the Most High's whip that's being used against you.
Psalm 17, verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down.
The him is talking about the Caucasian race, the Edomites. It says, disappoint him, cast him down. Read.
Deliver my soul from the wicked.
Now, when you read in the book of Malachi, matter of fact, get that real quick. Malachi, real quick. Let's get that real quick. A precept must be upon precept. We don't leave no stones unturned here, real quick. Let's see who the wicked is. Start at verse 1 so we can get it in full context that people are saying. You can't read scripture isolating.
Right. This is the book of Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi.
So, again, like we've touched numerous times, the Bible was only given to the Israelites, but read on.
I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?
So, he says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, but we black and Hispanics and the Americans say, when has God loved us? Because we look at the conditions we're in, we look at the societies that, like, the slums, the ghettos, the low education. Now, okay, people will call in or people will say, well, there's poor white people too. Yeah, there is. I'm talking about as a nation of people who's going through it the most, right? So we say, wherein hast thou loved us? Read on.
Wasn't that Esau, Jacob's brother?
So Esau is the forefather of the Caucasian race today. Read.
Saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob.
He loved Jacob, you natives, Latins, and blacks. Read.
And I hated Esau.
Uh-oh. There goes John 3:16 out the window.
Right.
It says, but I hated Esau. So now people will say, well, Esau was just an individual. That's not talking about a whole race of people. But let's smash that lie too. Read.
And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness.
Now, this was going into the Middle Ages, right, when the Israelites ruled Europe, because all the original shields and things like that, like you see in Scotland and England and Ireland, those were all dark people. That's why it was called the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Not because there was no technology in the earth, but because dark people ruled Europe. And we forced Esau into the Caucasus Mountains of Georgia, Russia. That's where the word Caucasian comes from. It means cave dweller. All right, you can read that in the book of Job, but read on.
Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished.
From Edom says we are impoverished, starting in 193, the fall of Rome. Read.
But we will return and build the desolate places.
And they return in 1453, the Renaissance era, meaning rebirth. Read.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down.
That's how you know that the Most High is a man of color. He says, but I'm going to throw down. That's a Jake term.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is.
What's up? You want it? I'm going to throw down right now. Read on.
And they shall call them the border of wickedness.
So they shall call them, meaning the Edomites, the Caucasian race, the border of wickedness. Now, depending on what side of the border you're on, it's something that starts or finishes something.
Mm-hmm.
So it says that Esau, or the Edomites, are the start and finish of all wickedness in the earth. Read on.
And the people.
And the person.
And the people.
And the people, because when you read in Genesis, Esau had kids, and his kids became a nation of people. Read on.
Against whom the Lord hath indignation forever.
You see that? It says that the Lord has hatred for this particular people forever.
Forever.
You know what? It is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and cry and moan that my oppressor doesn't have a chance of salvation for the atrocities that he did to my people.
Right.
That's a real slave mentality to not want justice for your people.
Mm.
But we went there to prove who the wicked is real quick. So that way when we go back to Psalm 17, verse 13, we can get the full understanding of that.
Psalm 17, verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down.
Cast him down, meaning from his seat of authority and rulership, because if you examine the earth, who's running the earth? It's not the Asians, it's not the East Indians, it's the so-called white man. Read.
Deliver my soul from the wicked.
From the wicked, which is Esau. Read.
Which is thy sword.
You see that? He's the tool that the Most High is using to punish us. All right. He's the tool the Most High is using to punish us. And even though he's endowed with his wisdom and everything else, because Esau is wise, it says that he's wiser than Daniel. We understand that Daniel was an extremely wise prophet. It says that he's wiser than Daniel. So we know that he does have technology and all those other things. I mean, come on, he has Satan working with him. Of course he does. But he's not all-knowing and all-powerful enough to be able to cause these things that we see in the earth today. All these miracles that we see in the earth, all right, the earthquakes in diverse places and the storms and the tempest, those things come by the hand of God, all right, for two things, to punish those that are rebellious and those that are the wicked, and secondly, to be signs and wonders for the children of Israel to see these things and increase their hope here in these last days. That's what those things are for. You have something else, Jordan? We have about 8 minutes left, but again, the call number is 516-531-9797, 516-931-9797.
Like the officer was saying about these are signs of the end of this world. Mm-hmm. All right, give me 2 Exodus chapter 16. We'll start at verse 18.
You said 16 verse 18?
Yes.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 16 and verse 18. The beginning of sorrows and great mournings, and beginnings of famine and great death. The beginning of wars and the powers shall stand in fear. The beginning of evils. What shall I do when these evils shall come?
So that's what we're looking at the end of the days. We're seeing beginning of wars with North Korea and Russia threatening America, and the beginning of famine. All right. That's what's going on also in Houston. There's the food, you know what I mean? The stores are being flooded.
Yeah, famine is talking about, you got to even think about what's that in Michigan?
Oh, Flint. Flint, Michigan, the dirty water.
Right.
That's famine right, right. there. That's going
right.
after that.
Right, and then that's going on for like 3 years now, right?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
That's
so
crazy.
This is the beginning of these things that are to come. Verse 19.
Behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent as scourge for amendments.
So these things are sent unto us, right, by the Most High to let us know, guess what, we're at the beginning of the end. All right, we're at the beginning of the end of days when the Most High will send his son to redeem his people. All right.
That's, look, it says for amendment.
Mm.
Mm. Meaning these things are necessary in order for you to come back and make
it. Same thing as going back in Hosea
5:15. Right there. That's a precept for Hosea 5:15.
Sure.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
Hosea 5.
That's a good script, so.
I lost the other one. You guys go ahead. I lost the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Real quick. Give me a Sirach chapter 42 and verse, let's start at verse 23 real quick. Sirach 42 verse 23, all right? Just to briefly wrap it up, we understand whose hand is behind all these things that are happening on the earth, whether it be the injustices of our people being killed by the police. Not saying that our people deserve those things, because there are some, you know, innocent people, you know, that end up dying.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand that everything happens for a reason, and it's all to fulfill the will of God. Read that.
The book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 42 and verse 23. All these things live and remain forever for all uses, and they are all obedient.
Read on.
All things are double one against another.
So this is going back to what we were reading before, all right, about how good it is against evil. It says all these things are double one against another. Read.
And he has made nothing imperfect.
You see that? The Most High has made nothing imperfect. All his works are perfect, whether it be this catastrophic hurricane called Harvey that swept through Houston and, you know, surrounding areas. It says that thing is perfect. It was perfectly put together by the Most High to fulfill his word. All right. Now, whatever the case may be, whatever's going to come of it, we don't know. We don't know. That's not our job to even question if and why. It's just for us up to us to be obedient to the word of God and just follow it. All right. You have what you're looking for now?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Not verse 25, officer. It says, one thing established the good of another. And who shall be filled with beholding his glory? That's heavy right there.
Right.
They're saying that these things that are happening, they're good. They're good because they're going to bring Israel to repentance.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. It says one thing established the good of another.
Mm.
You know what? Yeah.
That's heavy.
All praise, man. That's an excellent precept, too. That's why I say I love this truth. I can never get enough.
Hey, man, it's time for you so-called Black, so-called Hispanics, and so-called Native Americans to wake up to your true nationality according to the Bible, that you are the Israelites, and you must, it's a must that you keep these commandments. We know there's a two-thirds club, as the officer said, but we need that one-third, that 144 to seal the deal and have pride come back.
That's right.
And redeem his people.
I got two scriptures real quick. Let me get Romans 13, verse 11, and then let me also get, I believe it's 1 Peter 2:17. I've been shooting from the hip and missing all night, so hold on.
I feel you, man.
Yeah, it is 1 Peter 2:17. Yeah, Romans 13, verse 11.
The book of Romans, chapter 13, and verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe.
So that's the message that we're delivering to you so-called Natives, Hispanics, and Blacks, is that it's time to wake up out of sleep, all right? It's not talking about a physical sleep. It's talking about being spiritually asleep, time to come back and serve the Father in sincerity and truth. It says because now it is high time, for now our salvation is nearer than we believe, all right? With all these different miracles and signs, you know what? And I won't even call them miracles. It's just the works of God being produced right now on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
With all these works of the Heavenly Father being perpetuated throughout the entire planet Earth right now, that now we can see that our salvation is nearer than we had ever believed at any point in time. All right? Give me 1 Peter 2, verse 17.
This is the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king.
We always like to end the show with that scripture. It says to honor all men, fear God, love the brotherhood, honor the king. That's what the whole reason why we were created as a people was to fear God, keep his commandments, and give glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, from the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
Which is the head nation of the tribe of Israel, giving all praise to the Most High in Christ for that thing. You know, even though we have a lot of undercover Gadites out there that are claiming Judah, but hey, you know what? We love you all as well. All right.
Right.
Any closing thoughts? We got about 40 seconds left.
Hey, Shalom. Thank you for having me. Soldier Shai.
Hey, Shalom, Israel. You Blacks and Hispanics, Native Americans, we need you to wake up. Don't worry about these things, harp and all these worldly things. You have to fear the Most High God and keep his commandments.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. So, again, you can catch us every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m., Saturdays 10 a.m., and Monday nights at 8 p.m. as well for our Spanish segment. Lord's will, we see you guys again soon. With that, we say Shalom.
Shalom.